We're gathered together to study a lesson from the Lord's book. The God we just sang about, the Christ that we declared our faith in, who sent the Holy Spirit to reveal to chosen men the message of salvation. I trust that we'll give attention to the words that the Holy Spirit revealed as they might help us better understand and honor that Master, the ideas that we possess, and in the life that we live. We're going to take our text this morning from the book of Acts. We're studying the book of Acts in our Bible class. This particular verse that we're going to focus on will illustrate how important it is, the things that are written there, in the understanding that we have about the church. We had said that the book of Acts is a sequel to the Gospels. Indeed it is, as it talks about the church, not only the church in its universal sense, but the church in its local sense, and what Christ's will is for the local church. So if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to turn to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And when you get to verse 28, back up to verse 17, because you will see there that Paul has called to himself the elders of the church in Ephesus. And so this address that we're reading, beginning in verse 18, goes all the way down through verse 35, is an address that the apostle made to these elders. We might call it an elders' Bible class. And he's talking to these men about their responsibility. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And therefore, he's delivering the message of the King that we just sang about. So let's look together at verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. We see here that the word church and what it means. We're introduced to that in the second chapter of the book of Acts. When Peter is preaching to people who are guilty of crucifying the Messiah, they recognize the weight of their guilt and say, what are we going to do? And Peter said, you've got to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And when they responded to that, they were added together. And in verse 47 in the King James and New King James Version, it said they were added to the church. That's what the church is. It's a group of these people who came to Christ seeking forgiveness in his blood, in his death. And that's what you have here in this verse. So as he talks to these men from Ephesus, he says, your job has to do with people. But it's a special group of people. It's a people Christ purchased with his life. He died to save these people. And so this really heightens the responsibility that this work of being an elder or a shepherd has. Now you'll note in verse 17, they're called elders. But in verse 28, he calls them shepherds or overseers. Same group of men. And so the work of elders has to do with people. It's not the idea of some kind of institution called the church. Something in the abstract. Well, I'm an elder in the church. Well, what's the church? Well, it's what Christ instituted. Well, what did Christ institute? It's not an abstract idea. If you are an elder or a shepherd, as these men were, you have in your hands the responsibility of people that Christ shed his blood for. That's how important this responsibility is. It's not a matter of being an overseer of a denomination. A denomination is a collection of churches with one oversight, like the Southern Baptist denomination, Methodist denomination, etc. But here, these men are not, the word denomination is not used, the concept is not used. He says that you are going to be shepherds of people who've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, question arises, which of those people? There were people purchased with the blood of Christ other than in the city of Ephesus where these men lived. Which people purchased with the blood of Christ were these men responsible for? And here it is right here in your text. Now, this is the New American Standard Version. And it says that they are to shepherd the church of God, he said, among you. All the flock, among you, or among which? The American Standard Version of 1901 says, in which? The Holy Spirit has made you shepherds to feed the church of God. Overseers to shepherd or feed the church of God. Now, this answers so many questions for us. For example, let's suppose there's a church in another town and they need help with their financial picture. Somebody to help them maybe either figure out how to spend it, how to take care of it or whatever, how to use it in the proclamation of the gospel. Maybe they need help with their edification, how to set up their program of edifying the saints and teaching the saints and selecting teachers and that kind of thing. Or maybe having to do with their gospel meetings and when they're going to have a gospel meeting and who they're going to use, maybe with building a place to meet. Now, can these men here in Ephesus, they evidently have some qualifications. They were appointed by an apostle and a prophet. Can they help that church in that other town, in that other, in our particular setting, state, or country? And if not, why not? Where does the Bible say that these elders could not help oversee another church of purchased redeemers as they work together in edification, getting a meeting place, using the funds that have been contributed? There's the answer. He said, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which, or in which. That is, we call it the local church, the one they had fellowship with. That's why they had no right to oversee the work, the decisions of other churches. It's right there in the text. You know, there were people purchased with the blood of Christ in Jerusalem. That's Acts chapter 2. There were people purchased with the blood of Christ in Philippi. We read about that in Acts 16. There were people purchased with the blood of Christ in Thessalonica. We read about that in Acts 17. And so there were churches in those cities. Now, he simply says here in verse 28, guard yourselves and your overseers to shepherd the church of God. But he didn't specify which one, did he? The church of God. He didn't say here in Ephesus. He said the church of God. Well, what is it that would keep them from overseeing the church in Jerusalem? That's purchased people, or Ephesus, or Philippi, or Thessalonica. Same answer. Among which? You see in verse 17, they're among the brethren in Ephesus. They are elders in the church at Ephesus. And that's why they have no right to oversee any other flock, whatever their needs may be, and whatever the good intents may be, other than the among which flock. What about a church that has no elders? Sometimes brethren start a church and there's no elders. You find in the first preaching journey that Paul was on, he established churches. For a while, there were no elders. What about the elders of the church at Ephesus, seeing a group of people meeting, knowing they need some kind of leadership, they need some kind of one to guard them? Could they oversee that flock? Why not? Here's the answer. Among which? Now, there's no thou shalt not, but here's this principle that we understand. Duties are based on and circumscribed by relationships. No one has to say to a man, thou shalt not oversee that man over there's child. Thou shalt not love that man's wife. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, well, let me use Ephesians 4. You fathers, train up your children. Which one? The one to which you sustain a relationship. The same thing is true when he said in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. Which one? The one you sustain a relationship to. And that duty to love a wife, that duty to train a child, is based on the relationship and circumscribed by that relationship. The same is true with the work of being shepherds, elders, or overseers. It is based on the relationship they sustain to a congregation, the one among which they work and worship, in which they are members. And that certainly qualifies the scope of their work as shepherds. Now, I trust maybe everyone in this audience is familiar with the fact this principle is not observed in many churches of Christ. There are churches of Christ where the elders see a church out here that is small and they decide they'll assume the oversight. Or maybe another church needs help with their money. They want to preach the gospel to the world. They haven't got the funds to do it. So a big church, the elders will assume the oversight. There is no assuming of oversight. Oversight has been appointed and in relationship to the church among which they serve as fellow Christians. All right? Then he says, shepherd the church of God. But what is it to shepherd the church of God? Is it simply to rule the church of God? There's so much more to being a shepherd than ruling. We can look right here in this context, in this discussion that Paul had with these men to see what he had in mind. When you get down to verse 35, the end of his discussion with these men, he said, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner. So he talked about the years when he came to Ephesus and he worked among them and they observed how he taught and what he did. He said, now I've showed you how you're to carry out your work by working hard in this manner. And so what did he do when he came there? We'll go up to verse 20. He said, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house. That's what I did when I was in Ephesus. And he said, I showed you that by working hard in this manner that I've talked to you about in this discussion we've had, working hard in this manner, you're to help the weak, not talking about people who are physically weak, not talking about people who are financially weak, but people who are spiritually weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You're men with knowledge. You're men with experience. And it's your job to share what you have learned and use the abilities God has blessed you with to do what verse 20 says. That is, teaching publicly and from house to house. Look, there are men who serve as elders who never go to anybody's house to teach. And what public teaching they do is very little, if any. And if a man's not willing to qualify himself, to prepare himself to teach the flock, he's not qualified to be an elder. He may be able to make decisions about money. He may be able to help build a church building. He may be able to ask a gospel preacher to come for a meeting. But if he's not willing to prepare himself to teach the Word of God, he is not qualified to fill this capacity. That's what shepherding the church involves, and it's right there in the context. Look at verse 26 and 27. I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. I told you what you needed to hear. I did not hold back. He warned them in verse 29 and 30 that after his departure, grievous wolves would enter in. You'll note in the verse that we're studying, he said, be on guard. Be on guard for yourselves, number one, and for all the flock. And sometimes men don't have the knowledge or the courage and the willingness to oppose error. Titus chapter 1, elders are told to convict the gainsayer. And if a man is not willing to do that kind of thing, he's not qualified to serve as an elder. It's not about getting in the back room and just making decisions. It's about teaching, guarding, telling the brethren what they need to hear, confronting the false doctrine that may arise. Look at verse 31. Therefore, be on the alert. Remembering that day and night, let me stop a minute. Be on the alert. There's elders who wouldn't know false doctrine if they slapped them in the face. They don't know that much and not interested. as long as everything's running smooth, we got money to pay the bills. But that's not the work of a shepherd. Look, he said, be on the alert. Remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace. What's going to equip them to do the work of shepherding? Knowledge of the word of God. Not knowledge of finances, how to build a business, how to build a building. Knowledge of the word of God. So you can see that the idea of shepherding the church of God, you know, when he talks about the church as a flock, he's talking about a flock of sheep. And that imagery is used, sheep need guidance. Sheep need protection. Sheep need someone to look after them. That's why he used the term shepherd. Now, he used other terms there. He used the term elders in verse 17. That was a term that had its origin back in Jewish history. They were the representatives and leaders of the people. He used the term overseers, which was like a superintendent. But he also used this term shepherd, which relates to a flock of sheep and its needs. And so teaching, warning, encouraging publicly and from house to house. Now that raises a question. And here's the question. How can elders shepherd a church in another town, 30 miles away, or 100 miles away, or in another state, or in another country? Tell me how they can do that. You say, well, they can send them money. They can tell them how to spend their money. They can tell them what preachers are good. No. It's teaching, warning, encouraging. Once you understand the work of shepherd, it's going to take care of this business of elders having works that have to do with churches in a foreign country and trying to determine their preacher and what they do. That's none of their business. It's not their business. And so what church are they to do the teaching and warning and encouraging and all of that? In the local church. Now, if they have an opportunity themselves to go and teach us as a teacher, that's fine. Or to go preach, that's fine. But they're not brotherhood elders. And there is no such thing as brotherhood elders. And so you see that they are to shepherd the church of God. And we already see which church that they're to shepherd. And that is the church of God, which is among you. All right. Now, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. No, he didn't say flocks. If elders have the capacity, couldn't they oversee 10 flocks, 15 flocks? There are works even among our brethren where elders assume the oversight of a work that involved 1,500 flocks and help decide how their money is going to be used in preaching the gospel, for example, or helping the needy. That's not what this verse says. They're to be shepherds over one flock, the flock. How many? One. Which one? The flock which is among you. There it is. Among which? In which? It's all right there in that verse. The one in this particular text is stated in verse 17. It's the brethren that lived and worked together in the city of Ephesus. Could they assume the oversight of the Philippian church? I know that there was a time when the Philippian church wanted to have fellowship with Paul, but couldn't. He said so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Could the church in Ephesus decide, we've got plenty of money, and we can help that Philippian church with their financial situation and preaching the gospel to the world? If they'll send us $10, we'll put it in our fund and we'll oversee that work. Is that what their job is? It is not. Why not? Why can't they oversee the work of the Philippian church here? Why? They'd be overseeing flocks. It's the flock. Which flock? It's the one that is among you or in which. What if a church has no elders? Same thing. That would make the church, these elders, overseeing more than one flock. They're to oversee the flock. Which one? Which one? The one among which. The one in which. That's simple, isn't it? It's a simple lesson from one verse that really strikes at the heart of so many departures from the Word of God today among our brethren. There isn't in the Bible no such thing as brotherhood works. Say, this is the work of the brotherhood. We see it. The elders have met. We're going to assume the oversight of this work. Tell me where that's in the Bible. Their oversight is appointed. It is assigned. It is over the church where they work and worship. These people. They're not over a work that they assume. That's simply not in the Scripture. They're overseeing people. What people? The ones in the flock where they worship. That's what they do. We're going to oversee this work. And so you churches send us money. We'll take the money. We'll use good judgment in how to spend it and either preaching the gospel or taking care of the needy. Not found in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about a church being involved in man-made societies. That is, the elders overseeing a school to train your children to read and write, and do arithmetic. Nothing in the Bible about that. They oversee souls and these sheep that need guarding and teaching and training. There's nothing in the Bible about overseeing, quote, homes. That is, orphan homes, widow's homes. Those kind of things. It's not in the Bible. And there's nothing in the Bible about them overseeing a business of some sort that they might be able to bring money into the church with. There's just nothing about that. They don't oversee a thing, an abstract, a work. They oversee people. People. People among which? The flock among them. If we just stay with the text. It'll help guard us against the apostasy that is leading so many astray today. Remember again, duties are based on relationships. And so the duties these men have as shepherds and overseers is based on the relationship they have to the among which flock, the flock, and it is circumscribed by that relationship. So, here's the lesson. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you shepherds or overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. By the way, I just happen to have on my notes. For example, I don't look at Facebook very much, but some years ago I was looking at it and there was, for example, a preacher. I was in another country. He was the pastor of 15 churches, and it was supposed to be a Church of Christ preacher, whatever that is. 15 churches. And so this idea is prevalent. It's certainly true in denominationalism. There's simply nothing about it in the New Testament. So, we have Acts 14:23, when the Apostle Paul and Barnabas, a prophet, went back through the churches that they had just established. They had went on this first preaching journey and preached the gospel, and people obeyed the gospel. In Acts 14:23, they appointed elders for them in every church. Note the elders is plural. Now note, churches were involved, churches in different cities. But he didn't say they appointed elders for them in the churches. He said they appointed elders for them in every church. Each church had its own overseers, if they had been qualified. So not an elder for the churches or elders for the churches, elders in every church. That's God's plan. That's what you read about there. And that's exactly what we find borne out later when Paul calls to himself the elders of the church at Ephesus and tells them to shepherd the flock of God among them, in which the Holy Spirit has made them overseers. Now the passage over in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 5 through 7. That passage I have on the chart for this one simple reason. When you read the history of Israel, it looked pretty bad later. It started out, you know, with judges ruling the nation. Just judge this place, this judge in that place, this judge in that place. They weren't happy with the judges. In fact, in the time of Samuel, his two boys were judges, and they were corrupt guys. They should have been removed and replaced. But what the people wanted, they wanted a king like the nations around them. And God, in his anger, gave them a king. And that led to their apostasy. Because when the king apostatized, the whole nation apostatized. You know, if you had judges and one judge apostatized, it wouldn't mean the whole nation apostatized. Maybe that's why God did it that way. I don't know. But the fact is, this is what happened. They wanted a king. It wasn't God's plan. And it was an apostasy from God's plan. And thus you have the tragic history that followed. This is what happened in the second and third centuries of our era, there was an apostasy in government, finally led 600 years later to the Roman Catholic Church. Back in the 40s and 50s, churches again faced variance in oversight, church government, on this very point that we're talking about right now. Men who are elders wanted to assume the oversight of work beyond the scope of the relationship to a local church. And so there was a division among brethren and churches. Some don't even worship together anymore. And some of these churches that have apostatized because they've left the New Testament pattern, there's all kinds of things they do. Once you abandon the pattern, where's the stopping place? Why not have a place where the kids can play, have a playground and have a school and have a bus to take them to an amusement park? Why not? If we're not going to follow the pattern on Acts 20:28, why not? And so that's what's happening in our society. So it may seem like a simple thing, but it's a matter of respecting the divine plan, the Lord that we have come to worship, and teaching and insisting that elders are overseers and shepherd the church of God among them. So much of this other is fueled by pride, wanting to do something big instead of doing something that God wants men to do.